It's the Dubai Property Podcast for news, interviews and market trends.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Dubai Property Podcast as we talk real estate. We like to break things down as much as possible right around the UAE. And it's another weekend in Dubai, and we're available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts as well as Amazon. And we have to love the technology that is connecting us to all corners this morning. Yes, a Saturday morning, and you are either having a relaxing start for your weekend, or you are looking at buying properties around the UAE. And wherever you are this morning, good luck, and let us know with how your property journey is going, particularly around buying property. And if you'd like to let us know, our email address is dubaipropertypodcast@gmail.com. And today, well, we're really rattling through April. It is the 20th day of April. And coming up in just a moment, we've got the Saturday morning property market update for you. There are a range of subjects that we are going to take a look at, and it's a full panel because Michael Doyle is back with us this morning.
It's the Saturday morning property market update. Join us for a deep dive into the world of real estate on the Dubai Property Podcast.
Yes, as mentioned, Michael Doyle is back with us. Also here is Lillian LeCampion and Mario Volpe. All here, they work in the Dubai property market, and they're here to help us understand what is going on in Dubai, particularly over the last week or so. And we're going to kick this off. This week, we have had a lot of rain in Dubai. In fact, the biggest downpour in 75 years. Now, to give you a sense of that, there was 255 millimeters in less than 24 hours. How does the lack of infrastructure deal with the water? The airport was closed. The entire region was thrown into chaos. And Lillian, this ain't the Gold Coast in Australia anymore. It's rain like you probably haven't seen before.
It's a very unfortunate outcome of climate change that we have to deal with these natural disasters more and more, and they're happening in every country. But for Dubai this week, it was crazy. You only have to go on social media to see thousands of videos of the roads flooded, water just pouring into people's homes, villas, apartments, shops. There's one crazy video of the Mall of the Emirates where water's just pouring into a shop. There's furniture flying off high-rise buildings because it wasn't only rain, it was wind, really strong winds. There were lightning storms. Of course, the Burj got hit several times, and cars with water nearly to the roof. Personally, it was quite scary for me. I'm in a high-rise apartment and I had water leaking through the facade. The light chandeliers were swaying and the building was making this creaking sound like a boat. And the final straw for me was actually when the kitchen doors flew open because of the swaying of the building. And I thought, I'm going to get out of here. And I went down to the ground floor lobby. There were about maybe 30 other residents there that were just hanging out because they were too scared and they just wanted to be with other people. So I really hope that any listeners living in Dubai that were affected did actually take Mario's advice from a few weeks ago and got insurance for their belongings and their houses.
Yeah, and if you're living outside of Dubai, you just get onto YouTube. You will find a number of videos that people have posted. And I want to come to you, Mario, because you know what I'm going to say here. We have spoken a few times about the rain, and Mario, you say, well, you know, it only happens a few times every year. Well, we're not even at the end of April, and four or five times we've had some big dumps. So, you know, something's got to be done, surely.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I stand by what I say. Dubai doesn't get that much rainfall over the year. It is a few days. Actually, as I've been here over the years, it's increased. It's gone from, you know, a day or two to four or five days to actually when you add up the whole year, maybe into a week or two's worth of rain. But it does often lead to localized flooding and a bit of damage to buildings, especially villas and townhouses. But I put this down to the way of construction and drainage, or should I say lack of drainage. Given that it rains only for a few, you know, days in the year.
Stop saying that. No, hang on. Stop saying that. It's raining more than that across a year.
Well, it is now. But honestly, yeah. the point I'm going to try and make here is that dealing with the damage rather than spending the money in preventing the damage seems to be the order of the day, because Dubai doesn't have much in the way of drainage also. So there's nowhere for the rain to go. When we talk about the villas and townhouses, the construction of the flat roofs often, and they don't normally have slanted roofs, because there's no drainage, the water just sits there in a pond and eventually seeps through. And that's why you get water pouring into houses and villas. I mean, I don't know quite about the swaying of buildings. Mine was pretty solid, but it is scary times, because it's not something that you expect when you come to the desert.
And something's got to give, really, because one of the things that we talk about is the way that the local government has this ability to be able to swing from left to right rather quickly and adapt. We use that word pivot. Now, I'm sure, Mario, that they're going to be in their think tank saying, well, we are carrying on with the construction in Dubai. There are more and more buildings, which means that when there is a flooding event, more properties are going to be affected. So they are going to, at some point, they're going to have to address it. Otherwise, this is just going to be a mounting problem that is going to get worse.
Yeah, no, that I agree with. And sort of storm-proofing the properties is something that I think, as we go forward, they should do it from the source, from the construction, and actually use either better materials or better designs. This way, when it does rain, no matter how hard, it won't affect it as much as it has recently. From that point of view, we will see changes. For the older buildings, well, I guess it's then just damage limitation.
Right, let's come to you, Michael. Welcome back. We missed you last week, and you are going to tell us a little bit about how Jumeirah Park held up in the storm. So what can you tell us on that front?
Thanks, Greg. It's good to be back. Virtually everyone was affected. It was just a matter of how badly. I had a lot of clients send me videos of leaks coming in around windows and doors, which is a common theme, as we know, as seals dry out in the sweltering heat. However, one or two homes weren't so lucky, and quite a bit of water inside, particularly in District 9, actually, where kind of a more of a flat roof profile. The legacy units found in the rest of Jumeirah Park tend to have a more of a camber tile roof, which is obviously what you want when it comes to heavy rainfall. So yeah, quite a bit of suffering over there. But yeah, I completely agree with you as well, Craig. Yes, we don't have that much rain over here, but I mean, look, we talk about rainfall, like those roads collapsing and everything over here, Craig, you know, so it's becoming quite an issue. And I know we have cloud seeding and stuff, but this seems to be more of a natural disaster.
Yes, something will be done. I am absolutely confident and sure that the think tank that I mentioned a moment ago will be in operation. As far as Dubai is concerned, and in terms of demographic breakdown, statistics have just come out that Indian investors are sparking growth in Dubai's property market, driven by a new 5-year visa. Lillian, you've got some of the details on this.
I do. So the first quarter of 2024 actually saw a significant shift in investment trends in Dubai's residential real estate sector. So people from India actually overtook British investors as the most popular nationality. And as you mentioned, one of the big drivers for this is that in February, the Dubai government introduced a 5-year multiple visit visa for eligible people from India. The criteria is actually pretty simple. You just have to have a bank balance above $4,000 and have private health insurance. And then you're allowed to stay for 90 days at a time, which is plenty of time to find a property. And I know we do have listeners from all over the world, so I thought, given this new report, I might do a quick breakdown of the current demographics in the UAE. So this includes all seven Emirates. It's really interesting that there are 7 million males to 3 million females. I was actually surprised by that. And 70% of them are between 25 to 54 years old. The median age is 34. By nationality, there's about 12% that are local Emiratis, 55% from India or Pakistan, 7% Filipino, 5% from Iran. The Chinese make up 2%, and then the rest of them, 20%, is just everyone else like you and me. This is the people who live here, but we, of course, have overseas investors. And apart from Indians, Americans and the British are the biggest investor groups currently, especially in the luxury market.
Yeah, and that is certainly set to continue, I think, for a while. Now, there is a Dubai-based real estate developer that has launched a special initiative. Now, this is for its network of agents in line with its ongoing corporate social responsibility efforts. I'm curious about this one. Michael, what's happening?
Yes, I love to see headlines like this, Craig. IRTH themselves are a new developer founded just last year. They're responsible for one project so far, which is the Rove Residence in downtown. Their goal is to be one of the more eco-friendly developers in Dubai, so this initiative is not really surprising. And what they've done is made a donation of $1 million in the name of their brokers to the Red Crescent, and most of the funding to go to their Tarahum for Gaza initiative, which of course is aimed at helping to alleviate the massive humanitarian crisis ongoing in that region at the moment. I think it's a great thing to do, and even better that they donated on behalf of their brokers as opposed to, you know, just another corporate entity making a donation. So good work from them.
Now, let me ask you, Michael, in your particular apartment, do you have a plus maid's bedroom?
I don't. I'm actually living in a fairly large studio, Craig. I was living in a one bed there a couple of months back, and it's just too much space for me, you know, so no maid's room here. I'm the maid, Craig.
All right. Well, let's go to you, Lillian, because this is a talking point, because there are various portals that you often see the description of three bedrooms plus a maid's room. So, you know, a lot of people will think this sounds very opulent, but it's a very functional way for people to sort of run their busy daily lives.
It is indeed. And I've met at least a couple of families here in Dubai who are expats, who have been here for about a year, and the parents have all said to me, we never thought of ourselves as people who would have a maid, but now we can't live without her. So maids are really common, especially for families. They do a range of tasks, cooking, cleaning, and a lot of the time they double as nannies for the young children. And they're really an integral part of the family and sometimes travel with them, move countries with them. And what the majority of people in who don't live in Dubai might not know is that most of these maids are live-in. So they have their own bedroom and private bathroom in the house. This, of course, means a lot for real estate because when people are putting these searches into the portals, one of the most common parameters, according to Property Finder, is that the house must have a maid's room. And so, of course, we know that families usually prefer villas over apartments, and this is evident in the numbers. So the first quarter of 2024 showed that 40% of property sales in Dubai were villas. And 85% of these were three beds plus maid in places like Dubai Hills, Arabian Ranches, Al Fijan. So what was really interesting about this statistic is that about 40% of these buyers are actually under 40 years old. These are people who are potentially looking at Dubai as a long-term home. They want to settle down roots, raise a family here, and they're really thinking about the future and about the space for their kids, looking at the community facilities, schools, parks, and of course that maid's room.
Yeah, it's all about that new money, of course, and there is a lot of that new under 40 money that is swilling around Dubai. And just on that note, we discussed last week about the record-breaking sales volumes and price increases in Dubai's real estate market last quarter. However, and Michael, I want to come to you for your comments on why some brokers are saying it's actually hindering many Dubai residents from getting onto the property ladder.
That's right, Craig. Yeah, it's a sentiment I tend to agree with as well. And it's escalating prices in Dubai's most affordable communities that's really creating this situation, Craig. February's data from Property Monitor shows the highest annual growth ever in apartment values was recorded in some of the more affordable communities like Discovery Gardens and The Greens. This rise is more than 7 percentage points higher than the average growth across the city, and about 12 percentage points higher than the average for apartments themselves. Square foot rates in less central neighborhoods such as Town Square and Dubai Production City also increased by 23%, which is a surprise, to be honest. Craig, with more than half the population earning around 10,000 dirham or around $2,700 a month, the majority are finding a mortgage increasingly out of reach.
Yes, and that is probably unlikely to change in the foreseeable future. Mario, you've got a few comments, I know, circling back to this water damage, because you've got a column in the National that you write in, and I think you've probably come across many situations of water damage and some of the consequences from people writing in. So what sort of comments around that have you got?
Yeah, this has been featured many times, and especially when we've had episodes like we've experienced a few days ago. The real problem, especially for tenants, is that they often forget to insure their belongings and just rely on the landlords having buildings insurance, which only covers the structure of the property. Then the fight starts when tenants want compensation for damage to goods due to leaks from a maintenance point of view or indeed rain, and are often left out of pocket. So the answer is don't forget to insure your belongings and furniture and check especially that it covers leaks as well as acts of God, such as the thunder and lightning, not just wear and tear on the installations. A lot of people will have been caught out as this latest storm was a particularly bad one. And as we mentioned before, the worst in 75 years.
Yeah, and probably more rain to come before the end of the year, Mario. That's the key thing. More rain.
Let's see.
More rain is on the way. Now, you'd be a brave man if you said, Craig, I don't think there's going to be any more rain for the rest of the year. You know, we're sitting in April.
Well, let's see. I actually think that we won't have any more rain, certainly not until perhaps the end of this year. But I think we've seen the back end of it now.
Is that right? Gee, that's a long time. That's a long way away. What about you, Michael? You were coming in with a prediction?
Never say never, Craig. I mean, we didn't see this storm coming until it was the last minute. So, you know, I don't know, Craig, to be honest, but I wouldn't be surprised if we had another bad spell in the next few months.
Okay, these are all predictions, so we might as well get yours, Lillian. What do you think is likely to happen? How many more times, because you're the newbie into Dubai, how many more times do you think it'll rain between now and the end of the year?
That's a really tough question. We're obviously entering summer, so there might be a dry spell for a few months, but getting into winter and autumn, I think we've got to be prepared. And as Mario said, the best way you can do that is get insurance.
Indeed. All right. Well, that wraps up our Saturday morning property market update. Quite a heavy influence on this large rainfall. 75 years. It's the most rain that Dubai has seen. So definitely worth stopping down and talking about that whole situation. Mario, Michael and Lillian, all have yourselves a fantastic weekend. Look forward to catching you back next week.
Pleasure as always, Craig. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Craig, and everybody stay safe out there.
Thank you very much, Craig. Have a great weekend for the listeners.
If you're confused about the property market, don't be. Unlock and educate yourself with the latest trending analysis and interviews. Explore new property destinations where you could live with exclusive interviews covering real estate news and market insights. We cover everything on the Dubai Property Podcast.